Well, we're back here on the air. I'm Glenn Coble. You're listening to WWGH here in Marion, Ohio. And I hope you're having a good morning. We're doing some live reading of inspirational stories. And the next story that I have I'm going to do for you is it's called An 87-Year-Old College Student Named Rose. It's kind of something I've always misunderstood or not understood, why people in their 80s go back to college, but there are several people that do. And so I'm going to read that to you, and then we will talk a little more, and then I have one final story that I will give you at the end of the hour, or maybe I'll do it in the second period. I'm not quite sure. But we hope you're enjoying it. And if you'd like to respond, the number here is 740-383-9944. That's 740-383-9944. Now let's read that story about an 87-year-old college student named Rose. The first day of school, our professor introduced himself and challenged us to get to know someone we didn't already know. I stood up and looked around when a gentle hand touched my shoulder. I turned around to find a wrinkled little old lady beaming up at me with a smile that lit her up like her entire being. She said, "Hi, handsome. My name's Rose. I'm 87 years old. Can I give you a hug?" I laughed and enthusiastically responded, "Of course you may." And she gave me a giant squeeze. "Why are you in college at such a young, innocent age?" I asked. She jokingly replied, "I'm here to meet a rich husband, get married, and have a couple of kids." "No, seriously," I asked. I was curious what may have motivated her to be taking on such a challenge in her age. "I've always dreamed to have a college education. Now I'm getting one," she told me. After class, we walked to the Student Union building and shared chocolate milkshake. We became instant friends. Every day for the next 3 months, we would leave class together and talk nonstop. I was always mesmerized by listening to this time machine as she shared her wisdom and experiences with me. Over the course of the year, Rose became a campus icon, and she easily made friends wherever she went. She loved to dress up, and she revealed the attention bestowed upon her from the other students. She was living it up. At the end of the semester, we invited Rose to speak at our football banquet. I never forgot what she taught us. She was introduced and stepped up to the podium. As she began to deliver her prepared speech, she dropped her 3x5 cards on the floor. Frustrated and a little embarrassed, she leaned into the microphone and simply said, "I'm sorry, I'm so jittery. I gave up beer for Lent, and this whiskey is killing me. I'll never get my speech back in order, so let me just tell you what I know." As we laughed, she cleared her throat and began, "We do not stop playing because we are old. We grow old because we stop playing. There are only 4 secrets to staying young, being happy, and achieving success. You have to laugh and find humor every day. You've got to have a dream. When you lose your dreams, you die. We have so many people walking around who are dead and don't even know it. There are huge differences between growing older and growing up. If you are 19 years old and lie in bed for 1 full year and don't do 1 productive thing, you will turn 20 years old. If I'm 87 years old, stay in bed for 1 year and never do anything, I will turn 88. Anybody can grow older. That doesn't take any talent or ability. The idea is to grow up by the ways of finding opportunity in change. Have no regrets." It's an interesting Okay, I missed the second page. Sorry about that. Have no regrets, she said. The elderly usually don't have regrets for what we did, but rather for things that we did not do. The only people who fear death are those with regrets. She concluded her speech by courageously singing The Rose. She challenged each of us to study the lyrics and live them out on our daily lives. At the year's end, Rose finished the college degree she had begun all those years ago. 1 week after graduation, Rose died peacefully in her sleep. Over 2,000 college students attended her funeral in tribute to the wonderful woman who taught us by example that is to never too late to be all you can possibly be. When you finish reading this, please send the peaceful word of advice to your friends and family. What an interesting story. I kind of welled up a little bit while I was reading it. I'd read it two or three times before in preparation. Each time I thought about it, I think about my parents and what they had to offer as they went on. And I think of myself. And much like I was talking before the break, I think of my example to my kids. If you don't have kids, shouldn't stop you. There are people around you that admire you. I have a great friend who committed suicide. He lived here in town. Many of you would recognize his name, and I'm going to leave it alone. But he didn't, I guess he didn't realize what an effect he had on all of our lives. He had a huge effect on my life. He really introduced me to Marion, Ohio, and the good people of Marion, Ohio. I wish he hadn't made that choice. But I remember him probably every month. I think back about him and something he said to me, and it kind of it helps me out sometimes because he was older than me at the time. He passed. He's younger than my age now, but he was a little bit older than me and knew a lot about Marion. I think he had grown up here, he gave me a lot of insight. Told me about where Marion had been, and the great people of Marion, the ones that had made a difference. As a matter of fact, he was the very first person to talk to me about Charlie Evers. He was friends with Charlie, and he had known Charlie through the radio. And even though we talked about him, I did not know Charlie at the time. I knew who he was. This person gave me a warm feeling about Charlie. And so obviously, even though he decided that it was the end of his life, he's still making a difference in mine because I think of him and some of the things that he told me and some of the things that I learned about Marion that I wouldn't have learned had he not told me. So make sure that you always helping other people grow. This lady who was 87 years old and wanted to continue her education, that's kind of selfish if you stop and think about it, but it's selfish in a good way because she was getting to be a better person and therefore making people around her better people. And that's just a really fine goal for you to have in your life, is to make life better through the people around you. Make it better for them because it'll make it better for you. I guarantee you that if you find a way to get up off the couch, be kind to other people, think of other people, work with other people, you will find that your life, even if it's cut short, will be far more joyous than if you sit around, complain, always find fault. Now, we all find fault. You were humans. But there's a difference between finding fault and finding someone to blame. Finding fault is looking around and saying we shouldn't have racist tendencies. We shouldn't be mean to people around us. We shouldn't kill animals for the joy of killing them. We shouldn't force other people to do things that we want to do. There are lots of things around us that we can make better, and we tend not to care about them because we are individuals and we're more self-centered than we need to be. I blame myself every time I catch myself being self-centered, and I am all the time. I guarantee you, I am all the time. I was self-centered this morning when I was shaving, looking to see how fat I had gotten, looking to see how gray the hair had gotten, listening to the songs of my youth, and wishing I could go back. I really don't. Well, I do wish I could go back, but I wish I could go back with the knowledge that I have now. I hope that today, with my inspirational stories that I'm reading to you, I hope that maybe something that I read will click a little button in your head and say, hey, maybe I ought to get out there and build that airplane model I thought I could do 20 years ago and just been sitting on the couch doing nothing. Believe me, I sit on the couch doing nothing a lot. I'm just as bad as the rest of you. I try to do something to make myself a better person. Sometimes it's just mental stuff. Sometimes it's reading inspirational stories to friends like you and me. I'm naturally a friend of myself, but to friends like you, and hoping that I can do something for you. I don't really expect anything in return. I honestly don't. I just hope that you might even think of something that you think I'm really missing. You might think to yourself, boy, that guy has no idea what he's talking about. Well, that's fine, too. You're learning something. You're thinking. If you're thinking that I'm not telling you something, then you're thinking you're doing the process of thinking through what you're listening to. And we need to do that. We need to have the process of thinking. We need to have the process of thinking about how we can be good to each other. We have lost that. In the United States of America, if there is one fault that I find above all others, it's the fact that we don't listen to each other and don't care what the other person thinks. We've got to stop doing that. And I'm at fault just like everybody else is at fault. And around this election season, it's pretty evident, right? Glad that's over, aren't we? Well, I guess it's not quite over. We still haven't found out who's going to be the president. So I guess we have to wait and find that out. But anyway, in the next segment, I'm going to read a little story, and it's very short, about how to find happiness. And maybe I can help you out with that. And it's not my words. It's somebody else's words. It's just stories that I picked out as inspirational short stories that I thought my audience might really enjoy hearing this. You're listening to... On the air.
Scott, you know I love fruitcake so much that for me it's not just a Christmas dessert.
Oh, Charlie, I would not want it any time of the year.
Oh, Scott, you've not lived until you've had mashed potatoes and fruitcake, birthday fruitcake, graduation fruitcake, cream of fruitcake, and oh, the possibilities are endless.
WWGH Radio 107.1 FM. Don't miss it.
/180/111, and I had a stroke.
I couldn't speak.
I'd walk.
150 over 90, and I had a stroke.
This is what high blood pressure sounds like. You might not feel its symptoms, but the results from a stroke are far from silent. Get back on your treatment plan or talk with your doctor to create a plan that works for you. Go to loweryourhbp.org.
Head to toe, everything's changed.
Brought to you by the American Stroke Association, American Medical Association, and the Ad Council.
Well, you're back here on the air with Glenn Coble here at WWGH-FM here in Marion, Ohio, 107.1. I hope you're enjoying listening to some of the inspirational stories that I pulled out of to read to you, because we have all gone through a period of intensity and tenseness that's not over yet, we hope it'll be over soon. Matter of fact, Scott, when I came in, said that we're supposed to know about one more state, the voting in one more state sometime this morning. And that could flip the results so that we know one way or the other. But it might not. There's still like four or five states still hanging out there. So we're not quite sure. And so anyway, I thought if I read some inspirational stories, it'll take your mind off of all that crap. And I'm a member of it. I've run for office a couple of times and get pretty involved. Yesterday, I was at the point of wringing my own neck. And I'm sorry if I offended people. I'm really not sorry for offending people, as I am sorry for not showing the proper respect for some people that I should, right? And that's kind of what we're reading about today in these stories of positive imagery and inspiration. That was one of the things that my father used to be very good at doing from the pulpit. His sermons, most of the time, not all the time. That's kind of an interesting story. If we'd sit around, we always went and had dinner out at the same restaurant, and my mother would talk to my father about some mistakes he might have made or some of the things he could have said better. He would always start out with, "Oh, Al." My dad was, his name was Alman. "Oh, Al, you really missed it on this one." My mother, even though my dad was educated through Boston University and Butler University and also Harvard, my mother had a pretty high pedigree herself at one of those really fancy girls' schools. I can't remember what they out in Boston. But anyway, she was probably the smarter of the two. But back in those days, if you were a woman, you had to stay a little bit in the background. My mom was not good with that. She always did tend to, after the church service was over, you always lined up, the entire family would, and we'd have to shake hands with everybody as they were leaving, saying thanks for coming to church. Even the kids, even we kids had to do it. Now, my brother rebelled against that and occasionally would sneak away, but go have a cigarette. And but I got to shake hands with a lot of old folks, people that were my age back then, who would be 150-something now, and they're not. I learned a lot. I learned a lot from some of those old folks. And now I'm one of those old folks, and I hope I can pass that along. All right, I'm going to read this story. It's called Find Happiness. This will be the last story I read to you. It's very short. We'll talk a little bit more about that in the final quarter of the show. And don't forget, by the way, we have Swap Shop coming up. I just got a phone call from a gentleman asking if we're still doing Swap Shop, and we are doing Swap Shop every Thursday from 12:15 to 1 o'clock. With this COVID going through the population, we've kind of diminish the number of calls we've got. Sometimes we get none And sometimes we get one, and I think the high that we've gotten in the past 6 months is probably four, and that's fine. But we're going to still tell people where they can go, who they can call to buy some, you know, a bicycle or buy a toaster oven or whatever they have to sell. Now, remember, we don't offer things that require legal registration, like a house or a car or a gun or a boat or anything that you have to do legal stuff on. We don't carry that. All right. We're going to read this. It's called Find Happiness. Once a group of 50 people were attending a seminar. Suddenly the speaker stopped and decided to do a group activity. He started giving each attendee one balloon. Each one was asked to write his or her name on it by using a marker. Then all the balloons were collected and put into another room. Now these delegates were let into that room and asked to find the balloon which had their name written within 5 minutes. Everyone was frantically searching for their name, colliding with each other, pushing around others, and there was utter chaos. At the end of 5 minutes, no one could find their own balloon. Now each one was asked to randomly collect a balloon and give it to the person whose name was written on it. Within minutes, everyone had their own balloon. The speaker then began, "This is happening in our lives. Everyone is frantically looking for happiness all around, not knowing where it is. Our happiness lies in the happiness of other people. Give them their happiness. You will get your own happiness. And this is the purpose of a human life, the purpose of happiness." Kind of interesting, huh? The only way we can find happiness, according to this story, is by giving happiness to other people. I believe that's true, and I also believe that there are a lot of people in this world that don't give a rat's furry behind about giving other people happiness. All their concern, and I'm afraid it's getting more and more, that people are more concerned about what have you done for me? Why do you get something that I don't get? The word I has gotten really pronounced in our language, me and I, and sometimes used incorrectly, as my grammar teachers would tell me. But we've got to find a way to put you and your and pronouns like that into our language. How are you feeling? What can I do for you? That's the kind of thing. And I know it sounds like that hated attitude of being kind. For some reason or other, it has become unfashionable to be kind. Now, I'm not going to get into politics on this, but I will say that our current politics is only about self, and I really believe that's why we have so much. I was going to say hatred, but it's not really hatred. It's kind of jealousy of other people. It's kind of ugly, and there are a lot of people that don't even see how ugly they're being. I was going to say kids, but I'm sure that it's not all just kids. But these people who go out and there were a lot of signs being destroyed, stolen, kicked down, you know, political signs during this past season. That is basically showing no respect for the people that own that property, first of all, showing no respect for the people who signed that is, but if you stop and think about it, it's giving yourself no respect. You're saying that you don't like that person. I understand that. But if you passed by, now I must admit I passed by some signs I didn't like and I would grimace at them, but I allowed them to stand because they have the right to stand. Other people have the right to be around. And for some reason or other, we have completely lost the idea of other people's needing to respect other people and give them the opportunity to be themselves. I think if we'd give each other more of the opportunity to be themselves, we would find that more people were more respectful of their fellow man, fellow woman. That's kind of a struggle, isn't it? Sometimes that pronoun stuff is, and calling a man or a woman a boy or a girl, that kind of gives me a hard time, and I'm sorry if I offend anybody by saying mankind. Person kind? Anyway, I guess I'm not going to worry about it. I'm too old. I hope you can find a way to give more respect to the people around you. And we have a lot of people that do that. The biggest example I have was my sister. My sister, she was, I cried like a baby when my sister died. My parents, when they died, naturally I shed a few tears, but not like when my sister died, because my sister was the type of person, she was always working in her church. Her husband was a doctor, she always respected people, showed respect for people, even though I knew my sister pretty well, and I knew that she didn't like what that person stood for, but she would show them respect. She wouldn't run them down to themselves or to anybody around my sister. She was not one of those people that would say, oh, that person's a terrible person. You know, she wouldn't say that about anybody. It inspires me to be that way. I am not that way. I wish I could be that way. I hope you are that way. I know people like that. I know people like that in this town that are like that, that live here. So we've got good people. We just need to, like COVID-19, we need to make it spread everywhere. Wouldn't it be nice if you could catch kindness? Now, I hear there are probably some people out there saying, ah, that's a bunch of crap. And maybe you think it is a bunch of crap. I know that this world would be a better place if everybody could find a way to treat everybody that way. I hear you again. You're saying, yeah, but that guy won't treat me that way if I treat him that way. My mother always told me to turn the other cheek. She didn't say that literally, but that's what she taught me, is to find the goodness in somebody. And if they were mean to you, ignore that. And that doesn't mean be ignorant of it. Set it aside. It doesn't matter if somebody is mean to you. You don't have to be mean in return. All you're doing by being mean in return is belittling yourself. Hatred only affects the person that hates. It very rarely affects the person that is hated. I suppose you could say, yeah, but if somebody really hates you, they're going to shoot you. Well, there are always extremes. That, unfortunately, does happen occasionally. But let's hope that is very, very rare. Well, you're listening to Glenn Coble. We're here on on the air. And we will have a swap shop here in about 30 minutes, and we hope you can give us a call.
You know, Scott, when President Trump announced he was running for president, I called him an egotistical jerk.
Yes, I do remember that. Has your mind changed?
Well, no.
No?
See, you thought I meant that in a negative way. Rookie mistake.
WWGH Radio, 107.1 FM. Don't miss it.
Adopt US Kids presents What to Expect When You're Expecting a Teenager. Learning the Lingo.
GOAT, G-O-A-T, acronym, stands for Greatest of All Time. As in, spaghetti sandwiches for dinner? They're my fave. Dad, you're the GOAT.
You don't have to speak teen to be a perfect parent. Thousands of teens in foster care will love you just the same. Visit AdoptUSKids.org. Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, Adopt U.S. Kids, and the Ad Council.
Well, we're back here on the air. I'm Glenn Coble, and I'll be here for the next 15 minutes. I have finished all the inspirational stories that I had to read to you. I hope you got something out of them. If not, I hope they put you to sleep and you're sound asleep laying there on the couch while your wife looks at you going, I wish he'd get out and rake the leaves. I'm absolutely certain that's what my wife was thinking about me yesterday. Well, I had not slept the night before because of the election. I think I got in maybe intermittently a couple hours, but I was exhausted from that. And then I had to come in and do the show yesterday. So by the time I got home after, and then I had to go grocery shopping, which is my Wednesday task, by the time I got home, I was completely done. And I'm absolutely certain my wife was sitting there with me snoring away on the couch, my puppy dog snoring as well, laying on my chest or my side. I'm sure my wife probably was sitting there going, I wish he'd get out there and rake those leaves. So I'm going to go home today, maybe after a nap, and go out. And I've got the nice thing about nature this year is I have a big, well, not a big, I have a little, what do they call it? It's a trailer. I can put like a four-wheeler in it, or I can sleep in it, or I can cook in it, or I can use the bathroom in it, but it's very small. But it's big enough that it causes a vortex of wind. And my neighbor has these maple trees that absolutely were. They were absolutely gorgeous, but now they're laying on my front yard. I love my neighbor, and I don't care a bit that her leaves come down on my yard. It doesn't bother me a bit. I'm not one of those people that go out and mow their grass every 3 days. I'm also not one of those people that get out at the very first drop of the very first leaf and blow it out into the street. But today, I think I'm going to get out, and I've found out how important it is. I can actually mulch those leaves, and I guess leaf mulch is very good for your garden. So we're going to give that a try since I'm such a terrible gardener. This year we had pretty decent tomatoes, but if you came into my backyard and looked at my tomato plants, you would say, I'm not a very decent gardener. We had absolutely no... Well, no, I take that back. We had one green pepper. It got to be about an inch big. I did have a lot of jalapeno peppers, and they were very good. I had them every Saturday morning and Sunday morning when I cook breakfast for my bride. It's kind of a routine that I get up and do the breakfast on Saturday and Sunday mornings. My herbs are just fantastic. Unfortunately, neither my wife nor I use herbs very much. I do have a lot of herbs that you use for Italian spaghetti and that sort of thing, like oregano and basil and what else? Well, I have several of that type of herbs. And I do, and I have a lot of chives. And I do use all of those, but I only use about one-tenth of everything I grow. I give a lot to my neighbors, but, you know, you can only give so much, and then they get tired of having these weeds tied to their doorknobs. Anyway, I guess I'm going to get out, and I'm going to mulch those leaves this afternoon. And because nature has been nice, that vortex that spins behind my trailer and between my cars actually has piled up about a 4-foot-tall pile in between my car and my trailer. So all I have to do is just stand there and suck it up. I hope it'll be easy. Anyway, in about 10 minutes, we're going to take our break, or about 9 minutes now. We're going to take our break, and then we will come back with Swap Shop. Swap Shop will be on at 12:15, and we will take your calls, 740-383-9944, if you have something to sell. Now, I'm going to remind you, oh, well, by the way, if you have something to sell, we don't take things that require legal registration. So you know roughly what those things are. So, no, we're not taking your house. Anyway, we'd love to have you call in, 740-383-9944. And, you know, we're always looking for odds and ends. I have one gentleman that calls occasionally. He will actually repair your bicycle. I've had people call in because they were having garage sales. Thursday's a good day to tell people about your garage sale. We're getting to the point where there aren't going to be a whole lot of garage sales left, but we're supposed to have I'm going to look it up, but I really think we're supposed to have a pretty nice weekend. This weekend, getting in. Yeah, we are. It's going to be sunny Friday, Saturday, and Sunday, all 3 days, and it's going to get into the 70s all 3 days. So, yeah, maybe you ought to have a garage sale, and you can advertise it here in Swap Shop starting at 12:15. We'd love to have you give us a call and tell us. Let me see here. I don't see a single low that's below 32 degrees for the next 10 days. That's wonderful. We have a couple days that it's going to rain. Wednesday and Friday it might rain, but it's a low probability. So anyway, this might be the last hurrah before our first snow. Well, we have already had our first snow, haven't we? It was not very much, and it looked more like little balls of solid ice, but we have had our first snow. I think it was the day after Halloween, and I only remember one Halloween when I was young enough to go out and get myself some candy. I only remember one Halloween in the snow, and I was very young then. I was 4 or 5 years old, and I went out with my sister. Anyway, I guess my sister would have been 14 or 15 because she is 10 years older than me. You're listening to On the Air with Glenn Coble, and we've got about, let's see here, we've got about 7 minutes, 6.5 minutes left to go before we take our noon break, and we hope you are enjoying this. We were talking, I was being kind of philosophical reading those seven inspirational short stories, and one of them was very short, the one about the sun, starfish. I loved that one because it had to do with a young person who was thinking more than the older person. That can happen, you know. I've learned a lot from, I have a grandson, Colby is his name, and he's probably smarter than everybody else in my family, and we have a pretty smart family. Now, he hasn't blossomed yet. He hasn't even put out his buds yet, as we talked in that one inspirational story. How old is he? He's probably 10, maybe 9. I'm not sure. 10, somewhere around that age. But he is smart as a whip, and I've learned a lot of things from him. Some things I've also learned that I wish I could still paddle my grandchildren. He's kind of a hellion. Not a bad hellion. He has a mind of his own. And he won't let you tell him otherwise. But we all have that, don't we? I'm sure I have some people listening to me that are grandparents right now. And don't you just love your grandkids? I do. And I never thought I would. I'm one of those people that always thought, I always knew I loved my children, but I wasn't really ready to be a grandpa. Matter of fact, I still don't wear shirts that say that I'm a grandpa. There are a lot of people that love to wear that shirt that says, this was given to me by my grandson, or I'm grandpa to to Steve, or, you know, things like that. I'm still not ready to say I'm grandpa, even though I very much look like a grandpa. I probably look like more like a great grandpa. So anyway, that's my picadillo. That's my weakness, is my vanity. I do have a little bit of vanity about things like that. Not a little bit. I have a lot. That's why I look at myself in the mirror in the morning and have all those questions that I talked about earlier in the show. So anyway, I hope that we can all get through the next two or three days while we're waiting for the final installation of who's going to be the president of the United States. I will struggle with you, no matter which side you're on. Like Scott said, there wasn't anybody happy the morning after the election. If you were a supporter of Biden, you weren't happy because he hadn't won. And if you're a supporter of Trump, you weren't happy because he hadn't won. So, and it continues. Neither one of them have won yet. Now we're getting closer and closer. Biden seems to be like, I think, 4 electoral votes away. But there are still several states that haven't completed their election stuff. So it's still up in the air until the last vote is counted, right? And we should all be happy that we have a system where we can determine who is going to lead us. That is one of the good things about the United States of America. We have a lot of good things. We have a lot of bad things as well. And my show, Progressive Life, we'll talk about both the good and the bad. And I hope that I don't offend you too much. I know I will offend people because I do bring up the bad stuff. But I also bring up the good stuff. And some people think that when I bring up good stuff, it's bad stuff. And when I bring up bad stuff, it's good stuff. We confuse everybody, including the MC. I occasionally am confused and not quite sure where I'm going. So anyway, we're down to about 2 minutes. And don't forget, we're going to be switching over after the noon break. We're going to be switching over to Swap Shop. And you can call in and sell your tchotchkes at 740-383-9944. Let me give you that number again so you can write it down. I'm giving you a couple of seconds to run over and get your pencil and pen, and you can write this down in case you have something you want to sell. 740-383-9944. Hey, I really want to encourage you. If you do want to sell some items, make sure you respect, and we've been talking about respect all day, make sure you respect the people that come to your house to buy something. If, let's say you have a bicycle for sale. Put the bicycle out on the front porch. The person will know how much you want for it, so have that person put it in an envelope and lay it on your front porch. They'll take the bicycle. Then you can go out after they're gone. Or wear a mask and stand 6 feet apart from each other. It's important to respect other people. Yesterday when I went to the grocery, I was very upset. I guess it was. There were several people there, and they all kind of had the same open mouth, slack jaw look that weren't wearing masks. And not only is that not permitted, it's mandatory that you wear a mask in that store, but people don't care. They're too good for that. But it's good for people around you as well as for yourself. And I know you're big, tough guys, and you can tell us what you want to do. But the Grim Reaper is right around the corner for all of us. You might think about that. But I don't care if you don't care. I'll just stay away from you. All right. Have a great day. You've been listening to On the Air, and we'll pick up Swap Shop after the break. Bye-bye.
WWGH Radio, LP, Marion, Ohio. The talk.